important that we pray for God's protection. I have been doing that. That God would protect him, God would shield him, because that's the only reason he's alive right now today. But it's really not all about Donald Trump. It's really about God. It's really about how he loves us, how he's created this nation for such a time as this. He's used this nation over the years to spread the gospel all over the whole world, and it's very, very important. I want to be a part, I don't know about you, I want to be a part of what God's doing. I'm getting more bold. There was a neighbor that lived right next to us up in Ketchikan, and him and I had a pretty good relationship with each other. And when they came back down here, you know, we still communicate some on email and stuff, and he kind of respects me, and we have a good relationship. And I just felt led this afternoon to sit down and write him a little letter. Because I had talked to him before, you know, when Trump lost in 2020. He was really upset, because he's definitely a Trump fan, you know. He's not saved. He knows about the Lord and everything, and I think he's close, you know. But I kept this relationship going with him. I just felt led this afternoon to sit down and write him an email, you know, telling him how, you know, this whole situation. And I said, I believe in 2020, God allowed Donald Trump to lose or not make it in, to allow America and allow the world to see what can go on if you don't have God. And I believe that is exactly why those people were able to, he's able to get a majority of America that voted for him, you know, and come up with a, it was enough that there's no way they can contest it, really. I love that about the Lord, you know. Anyway, and then I talked to him a little bit about, you know, I told him that, a little bit about what happened to me, you know, everything. And I told him, I said, I just made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. I have a purpose, you know. Amen. And I thought, again, shared scripture with them that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes. And, you know, I shared some scripture with them and everything. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what response I get to that. So, praise the Lord. Well, tonight, Father, I commit this service in your hands. I thank you because you're an awesome God.
Yes.
And Lord, we want to hear from you tonight.
Yes.
Lord, words are nothing unless they're anointed by the Holy Spirit. And I pray your anointing would be upon this message, and that you would give it to me and make it come alive and touch all of our hearts. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The title, The Link Between Political Israel and Spiritual Israel. The link between political Israel and spiritual Israel. And we know, of course, how God brought Israel into existence. And God blessed Israel and used Israel in the Old Testament times. And he gave them promises. He said, okay, if you do these kind of things, then I'm going to bless you in the land. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to, you know, supply all of your needs, your enemies. You're not going to have any enemies. They're going to be destroyed. And I will protect you. But if you fall away from me and serve other gods and everything, then this is what's going to happen. And the first thing he was going to do, he was going to do damage to them in the land. He bring the enemies in the land and punish them for what they were doing. They'd take away their food, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you can read all about how that happened in the Old Testament times. But then he said, if you continue on that, I'm going to take you out of the land. And I'm going to send you, you know, you know, it all ended up. They were sent all over the whole world. Now, if you think about this, if people, a group or people or whatever, were scattered throughout the whole earth, the normal thing that they would do would assimilate themselves with the people that are there. Right? They wouldn't hang on to their own stuff. No, they would assimilate themselves. When the foreigners come into this land, the United States of America, they come in and we want them to assimilate themselves. Yes. We want them to become Americans. We want them to do good. We want them to follow our laws and all this kind of stuff. And the interesting thing is they were scattered throughout the whole earth. And after Jesus died and rose and the disciples went out and everything, well, then eventually in 70 A.D., Jerusalem was destroyed and the Jews were scattered again into all over the world. And God began to work with the church, which was his people, which is also spiritual Israel, and I'll get to that in a moment. That's also spiritual Israel. We belong to Israel spiritually. We are part of Israel in that sense. So, God instituted the church. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute here. So the title of it, The Link Between Political Israel and Spiritual Israel. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. So, political Israel was born on May 14, 1948. And God brought the Jews back into the land. God brought them back into the land. Why? Because he was going to deal with the Jews. He had been working with the church up to this point, but now he was setting them up to where he would be working with the Jews. So in 1948, God brought the Jews back into the land to fulfill his plans for Israel in the last days. And the nation came into being in much turmoil and much danger and war. All the surrounding nations were against them, and the very next day, they were fighting for their lives. And the British Empire, who had a mandate in there, the British Empire wouldn't even allow them to have weapons. And they just walked off and abandoned them and left them. And by the way, let me tell you something about the British Empire. The world used to say the sun doesn't set on the British Empire. India, all these different countries they were involved in, the sun doesn't set on it. But I believe when they did that to Israel, they took their weapons, they wouldn't let them have their weapons or anything to defend themselves, and they walked off and abandoned them there. What happened to England? To become a little old, sitting, well, back in the home front again. They lost it all. Lost it all. If you bless Israel, God's going to bless you. But if you don't, if you go against them, look out. You're bringing judgment on yourself. And the British Empire wouldn't even let them have weapons to defend themselves. And it was only by the grace of God that they prevailed against their enemies. Everyone in the nation had to become soldiers. They had to defend themselves. Their lives were on the line. They would have been wiped out. And everybody had to become soldiers to defend the new nation from their enemies who were determined to destroy and annihilate them. And to this very day, they have been attacked by their enemies to kill and to bring terror to them. And it's nothing but by the grace of God who has a purpose for them, and that they've had to train people to fight. They've had to accumulate weapons and tanks and airplanes and everything. They've had to do that because nobody was helping them. And with God's grace and God's help, Israel is alive and well today. So even today, political or natural Israel is fighting for their lives against the enemy with natural weapons. I say that with natural weapons because for the most part, Israel has rejected their Messiah. They did not accept him when he came.
Right.
Even though there were scribes and they read the word, and the Lord told them, he said, you think that by the words that you're going to get saved? No. I mean, they didn't even recognize Jesus when he came. And so, anyway, right now, they're fighting in the natural. Well, I give credit for that. The only thing that's really keeping the whole thing together, because God wants them there. He has a purpose for them there. And God's going to accomplish something. He's going to deal with them. And before, when it's all over, all the ones that are left, all of Israel, will be saved, according to the scripture. Hallelujah. So let's compare political or natural Israel with spiritual Israel. Jesus began the church that would really be spiritual Israel. It's a church, but it's spiritual Israel. You'll see here, I'll get to that in a minute. And Matthew 16:18 says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Remember, Peter was a Jew too, so you're talking Jewish people there. But he said, upon this rock, what was the rock? It was the confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the rock. And on that rock, or on that confession, is what God built his church. Hallelujah. So let's look at Romans chapter 9, Israel's rejection and God's purpose. Romans 9, verses 6 to 9. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, but they are all children, and they are nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. Remember when Jesus came and he talked with them and said, well, we're sons of Abraham. Like that's going to take care of it. And that wasn't going to take care of it all. But it says, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as seed. For this is the word of promise, that this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And that was a miracle thing because she was 90 years old already and past the age of childbearing. And Abraham was 99, 100 when he was born. So this was a word of promise. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28-31. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. So we, like Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. And you see, they're fighting against Israel, they're fighting against the flesh is persecuted against the Spirit. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brother, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So you had Hagar there and Ishmael. That was something that Abraham did in the flesh. And we had problems down to this very day from that union. And so, but it was through Isaac that the seed would be called. It wasn't going to be through Hagar. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and following. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called a circumcision, made by the flesh, in the flesh by hands. See, we're talking about the Jews would call the rest of us uncircumcised. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And that's what's going on in our world today. They are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They're aliens from the covenants of promise. They have no hope and they have no God without God in the world. And that's why we have the problems out there that we do. The verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood that covers us, and we've been brought near to him. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one. We're talking about Jews and Gentiles here. Excuse me. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off. The ones that are far off are the Gentiles. Preached peace to us. And to those who were near, speaking about the Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So what God has done, in fact, the disciples went out and preached. They preached to the Jews and they preached to the Gentiles, and both of them were getting saved. But there's always been this little animosity, a little bit of problem between the Jews and the Christians. Always been that. And down through time, unfortunately, Christians haven't always done the right thing. And some of them even turned the Jews in, you know, during World War II, Hitler and everything. And the church, mostly the Catholic Church, went against Israel went to the Jews and they went with the others. And it brought a lot of animosity and problems between the two. Well, the Jews don't trust Christians for a long time anyway. They're starting it. That wall's starting to break down a little more now because they've been seeing some of the Christians that are moving out and helping the Jews and being with them and treating them right. But through him, both have access, Jews and Gentiles have one access by one Spirit to the Father. So now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I think about the Old Testament, and then they gave the law, and they built the temple there and everything, and that's where they met with God. But now it's different, isn't it? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we've given our lives over to the Lord, and Jew and Gentile that are saved are part of the body of Christ. And that's, we're growing. We aren't perfect, but we're growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And the Lord comes and dwells within us. Hallelujah. Jew and Gentile together when we get saved. We are now one body. It's not Jews over here and Gentiles over here. No, we're one body in Christ. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. And so they went and preached the gospel. Paul went and preached the gospel. You know, all these different ones. Peter, they went out and preached the gospel. And the Gentiles would be fellow heirs of the same body. That's what I call it, spiritual Israel. You can't separate us from Israel, really. And there's some church bodies out there. They're into a theory, you know, where the church is taking over Israel. Israel's no more. Sorry, you missed it. Big time, yes. That's a lie from the pits of hell. No, we're all, God is going to deal with Israel. We'll get to the scripture a little bit. So where the Gentiles will be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promising Christ to the gospel. Romans 11:25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. See, there was a mystery, and Paul gave that mystery out. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. I believe when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, that's when the rapture is going to take place. We don't know when that's going to happen, but when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, that's when God's going to take the church out of here. Then he's going to be dealing with national Israel. He's going to be dealing with them then. The rapture, we're going to have, and Israel's going to go through the time they call Jacob's trouble. They're going to go through tribulation. They're going to go through that. And when it's all over, whatever's left of them, it says Israel, all going to be saved. Paul declares that. All Israel is going to get saved. We have a, Lauren and I have been blessed to go over some trips to Israel. We had a guide over there, a Jewish guide. He was a Sabra Jew, born in Jerusalem, and he actually helped the British. He was actually a bombardier or something, one of the bombs. He was one of the few, I don't know if there was any others or not, that were flying with the RAF in World War II. And he became a Christian. And when he let his family know, he kept it quiet for a while. It wouldn't let his family know. It's like they had a funeral. Yeah. He didn't exist anymore. Yeah, he's dead. We don't want to see you. Don't want to have anything to do with you. I mean, that was it. They did not. When a Jew became a Christian, they were just dead.
Yep.
Gone. Bye. Don't bother coming around. It was really sad. And I think in later years, they finally was able to make connections with them and start getting associated with his family again a little bit. So it was really tragic. So we see ourselves as part of the body of Christ, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles. We see natural Israel fighting with natural means against their enemies that are trying to kill them and terrorize them. However, spiritual Israel, or the church, also has an enemy that is trying to destroy us. Don't think we're any different. The devil's out to take us out. We are, according to the world out there, we're the enemy. We're the enemy. Anybody that's doing good is the enemy. And so the enemy is trying to destroy us. And it's the same enemy that's trying to destroy us that's trying to destroy natural Israel out there. The same serpent who accuses the saints in heaven, he's called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation, also deceives the nations on earth. And one of his strategies is to lie about the church. He deceives nations into thinking that the people of God are dangerous, deluded, even destructive. Guess who really is dangerous, deluded, and destructive? Yeah, we are that to them, because everything that we do is against their lifestyle, against their way of living and everything, and we are dangerous to them. So that's what the devil, he breaks it like the people of God are dangerous, deluded, and even destructive. In all reality, they're dangerous, deluded, and destructive. It is through Satan's deception that the leaders of the nations band together against Christ and his people. You can see that in Psalm chapter 2. God's people in every age must expect the world's opposition, but the church can always defeat the enemy by being faithful to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we're faithful to Jesus Christ, we're defeating the enemy. Christ's shed blood gives us our perfect standing before God. But our witness to God's word and our willingness to lay down our lives for Christ defeats Satan as well. Our witness to God's word and our willingness to lay our lives down for Christ defeat Satan as well. You know, am I willing to lay down my life for Christ? I believe I am. I've reached that point, yeah.
Yes.
If that's what it takes, okay. Yep. Then remember this. Satan is not equal to God. He is not omnipotent, omnipresent, or omniscient. His power is limited, and his tactics must fail when God's people trust the power of the blood and of the word. And nothing that Satan does can rob us of salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. Nothing Satan does can destroy that. Hallelujah. If we are yielded to Him, God's great purposes will be fulfilled. Now, believers in any age and situation can rejoice in this victory. No matter how difficult their experiences may be, our warfare, though, is not against flesh and blood. Jews are fighting against flesh and blood. But our warfare is against the spiritual forces of the wicked ones. And these have already been defeated by our Savior. Battle's already been won. He's won the victory over Satan. Ephesians 6:10-18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And that's what we pray sometimes. Stand. The Lord wants us to stand. We're not fighting, we're standing. And we're saying, Satan, you aren't coming past this point. We have the blood against you. We've got the power of Jesus Christ in us. You're not crossing this line. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age and the spiritual hosts of wickedness are the ones that are in alignment with people who do not have a love for the truth. If Jesus said, if you don't have a love for the truth, you will believe a lie. And if you stay in that state for a long time, pretty soon He'll give you over to a reprobate mind. And that's what's wrong with a lot of our world out there today. They've reached that point. They're in alignment. These spiritual rulers are ruling over them. And they're giving them instructions. Instead, these people have believed the lies of the enemy and have sold themselves out to do the devil's work on the earth and are the ones that are coming against all of God's creation. So we're fighting against the principalities and powers who are in turn empowering those people over there that are going against Israel. They're bringing murder, they're bringing mayhem and fear and all this kind of stuff going on with them. Those same powers is what we're fighting against. And those powers are ones that are empowering those people that have sold themselves to do that kind of stuff. And I think about, it's really sad, the Palestinian, the children, the Arab Jews, the Arab ones, the children, from the very beginning, they're brought up to hate the Jews, to murder them, to do everything wicked. That's the devil. That's all these principalities and powers have come in and they've taken control and doing that. But 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So over there, you have all over the place. There's strongholds that the devil has. We have the power to tear those down. through Jesus Christ. A lot of times we don't realize the power that we have that's vested in us.
Amen.
Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you into the world.
Yes.
And he said himself, he said, I come to destroy the works of the devil. And he said, that's out there to destroy the works of the devil. So we need to learn more and more of who we really are and get in touch with him and find out what he wants us to do and be willing to step out and do it. Hallelujah. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not something that is in, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So it's a two-pronged battle going on, the natural and the spiritual, with the same enemy. They are fighting the natural, and we are fighting the principalities and powers that are in the back of the natural. But Satan has been defeated at Calvary, and the only thing he has going for him is that people will believe his lies. He's powerless. He has no power, except if people will believe his lies. And so many people out there in the world do believe his lies. Look at what this world has come to in just 4 years. It's just absolutely astonishing. But when we have Christ in our hearts and continue to believe in him, we have the victory over the devil. Our job is to get close to Jesus and make sure we're armored up and full of the Holy Spirit and follow his commands. We become workers together with him,
yes,
to accomplish and bring about praise to God. What did Jesus do? He said, I don't do anything except what the Father tells me. I don't go anywhere except what the Father shows me. And Jesus went, he said, well, Father, I just put a little word in here, it's a, there's a woman at the well over here. I want you to go see her today. So he said, I must need to go to Samaria. So he goes over there and he meets with this woman. Before it's all over, this woman is saved. And a whole bunch of the people from the town have come out and got saved. And, you know, it's like, that's the way God works. And when we all come into alignment with him, the Lord can help us to do similar things. Hallelujah. So we need to become workers together with him. And the only way we can do that is to become close to him.
Yes.
And to get into his word and find out his nature, the way God works, the way his attitude, what is, you know, the words of God. We need to know that stuff. Question, does God answer our prayers and will he rescue America? The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
I really believe that God brought America into existence with a far-reaching plan,
yes,
to spread the gospel around the world.
Yes.
And the enemy has seemed to thwart that plan many times. But I believe God can raise up America from the ashes again to do his will and to accomplish his purposes to bring about a great awakening that will prepare his church to be without spot or wrinkle as we rise up and bring multitudes into the kingdom. I really believe that with all my heart, that God wants to use America yet.
Yes, yes.
God wants to, if he were to come back now, is the church without spot or wrinkle?
Yeah.
I think sometimes the church is kind of a mess, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the church isn't there yet. But I believe that God wants, do I believe that God can raise America up again?
Yes.
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 I believe he can, and I believe he will. God will use us. You know, even as we prayed on Monday night, it's like God already was answering some of the prayers. Brought about the wonderful news about putting someone back in office.
Yes.
Hallelujah. To me, that's a mighty answer to prayer.
Yes.
And is that the whole thing? No, no. God's going to do it to where He gets the glory.
Yes.
It won't be man that gets the glory. It's God that's going to get the glory.
Yeah.
And but I believe He wants us to rise up. There's going to be a great awakening that will happen. It's going to prepare His church to be a church without spot or wrinkle.
Yeah, yes.
And I believe there's going to be multitudes of souls that's going to get saved.
Yeah.
And I believe when the fullness of the Gentiles has come down, then the rapture will take place.
Yeah.
And I don't think He'll wait. I think when that happens, it's going to happen.
Amen.
And the Bible says it'll happen in a twinkling of an eye. Twinkling of an eye.
Yep.
Not a second, it's a lot. Shorter than a second. And I think about our great God, our great, wow. And He can just like, boom, like that, and we're out of here. Changed into bodies that will be wonderful, not plagued with disease and everything else. It's going to be a marvelous thing. And I don't know about you, let's take a whole bunch of people with us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that need to hear the good news.
Amen.
So, and we can also help Israel in their battle by fighting against those wicked forces that are driving their enemies to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
They're fighting the battle in the natural, but we can fight the battle in the spiritual.
Yes.
And we can come against those principalities and powers that are creating all that stuff over there in Israel. And we're joined together with them in that sense. And so we look for the day that God's going to open their eyes and cause them to come into the family of God too.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a mighty answer to prayer.
Oh, yes.
I believe our nation has turned the corner and starting to head in the right direction. Trump not only won the Electoral College, but he also won the majority votes, which indicates that America is sick of all the wickedness.
Yeah.
They want something that is real. And that has been going on, and it's signaling they're ready for a change in direction. Lord, bring about your great awakening.
Yeah.
Let that readiness transpire. And let your people rise up and be what God wants us to do. If we just do what God wants us to do, that's what else can we do? But if we'll do what God wants us to do, we're going to see great things and we're going to see great answers to prayer. I believe we're going to see healings that we never thought possible. I believe there's going to be a great awakening that's going to go on in our land, in our church, in our community. And God is going to get all the glory. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
And then when Jesus comes back for His church, the church will be without spot or wrinkle.
Yes.
And we will all hope to be with the Lord in the air.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, we love You.
Yes.
We praise You. We know You have a plan and purpose for America. You have a plan and purpose for us individually. And You have a plan and purpose for our body of believers here. And I pray that You will lead us and guide us into that plan and purpose and help us to fulfill, Lord, that which You've called us to do. Bless Your people today. Walk with them, Lord. Help us to grow in You. Help us to discover, Lord, what we are to do, Lord. I pray Your blessings on Pastor Keith as they serve, Lord, as they're at the Church of God meeting. And I pray that You would bless them, Lord. Pray that You'll touch their hearts and encourage them, Lord. And let them come back here fired up, Lord, ready to serve You.
Yes.
Lord, we just commit our ways into Your hands. We love You with all of our hearts, with all of our souls. And we just want to walk with You. We want to be workers together with You, Lord. Just bless Your people this night.
Yes.
We give You praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.